Morning, Rabbosai. Welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's discussion is based on the beginning of yesterday's parsha, which discusses the laws of a person who becomes tameh lemeis, a person who becomes in some way in contact with a corpse, with a dead body. So that brings a status of tumah on that person. And we read in yesterday's parsha that that state of ritual impurity can only be removed through being sprinkled with the ashes of the parah aduma, of the red cow, which is one of the chukos haTorah. It's one of the laws of the Torah that is we don't know the explanation for. And that as such, what the parsha was called Parshas Chukos. But that is the topic of discussion in the beginning of yesterday's parsha. Now, it happens to be that the laws of Tumah by us today are, to non-Kohanim, are largely irrelevant. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was very relevant to everybody because of the fact that there were various considerations of even where a non-Kohen was required to be B'tahara. Most obviously, a person who wanted to enter into the domain of the Beis HaMikdash, a person offering a carbon, so could not enter in if he was Tamei Lameis. This is why today, a person is advised not to go up to the Har HaBayis, because we discussed this once, because of the fact that we don't know for sure the exact location of where the Beis HaMikdash stood, and as such, there's a concern that a person who was Tamei Lameis, would step into that area, even though the entire Har HaBayis is not subject to that law. There are parts of the Har HaBayis that a person who is Tamei Lameis is allowed to go to, but for that reason you see some rabbis who go up there, but nevertheless the consensus of all the Gedolei HaPoskim past and present, from Rav Kook all the way down to today, has been that people should not go to the Har HaBayis at all. And that's the way it's observed by most, and that is because of the consideration that we're tamei lemeis. Okay, but there is one group of people, obviously, that the laws of tumas meis are still relevant to, and that is the group of kohanim. As we know, the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Emor, we have in the sheet the first source. The Torah tells us that Vayomer Shem Moshe Emorel Akohanim Bnei Aaron VaMarta Aleihem LeNefesh Lo Yitamor BaAmav. That a Kohen, the Torah commands that a Kohen not become Tamei Lameis, a Kohen not come into any sort of contact with a Mace, and as such, that halacha applies even today. Even though today there's all kinds of situations of tumah that exist, but nevertheless, that halacha remains. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that a kohen, even today, even bismaneinu, even in Chutz La'aretz, a kohen is supposed to do whatever he can to see to it that he not become tamei lemeis. And as such, we know that a kohen does not attend the funeral by going inside the room where the funeral is being held, but rather stands outside. And the reason for that is because of the fact that one of the ways that tumas meis comes into being, one of the ways that a person contracts tumas meis is through being in the same ohel. There are three ways that a person becomes tamei lemeis. We have this here on the sheet. It's we have here, and if you look on page one, the Rambam tells us in the very first halacha in Hilchos tumas meis that hames mitame b'maga u'b'masa u'b'ohel tumas shiva. That a mace, a corpse, a dead body, and by the way, this applies not only to an entire dead body, but even to an amputated entire limb of a living person's body, also applies to, that a kohen cannot come in contact with such a thing. So the halacha is, but we'll limit the discussion here to a mace. So the Rambam tells us that there are three ways that tumas mace comes upon a person. One way is b'maga, by a person touching the mace, touching the corpse, that makes the person who touches it tame. The second way is b'masa. The second way is if a person carries the mace even without touching it. So for example, if he's carrying a coffin in which lies a mace, the person carrying it would become tamei. That's tumas masa, even though he hasn't touched it. But nevertheless, that's also a form of tumah. And the third way is why we're discussing this today, is tumas ohel. The third way that a person can become tamei lemeis is through tumas ohel. Tumas ohel means being in the same, under the same roof as the meis. Okay, this is derived from a pasuk in yesterday's parsha. This is on the sheet also, the second pasuk that's quoted, that at the beginning of Parsha Chukas, the Torah tells us, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Omos Ba'Ohel, that if a person passes away in an ohel, in a tent, so it says, Kol Haba El HaOhel, anyone who enters into the tent, V'chol Asher Ba'Ohel, anyone who is in the tent at the time that it happens, Yitma Shivas Yom. That person becomes tamei for 7 days. And the Torah proceeds to say that the way that the person goes out of that tumah is through the paraduma process. But nevertheless, this is how the person becomes tamei. And when you put the two psukim together, the Kohen, who is commanded not to become tamei, so he has a situation that he cannot be in under the same roof as a mace. Now, there are a lot of complexities in the laws of tumah, and unfortunately, because of the fact that in our times it's not relevant to most people, there are very few experts in these halachas today, but they're complicated halachas. So what I'm going to say is not necessarily the be-all and end-all, but to the best of what I was able to come up with, I would like to discuss issues that pertain to the tumah of Kohanim, particularly when it comes to Ohel. And for all the non-Kohanim sitting here, you say, well, what do I have to hear this for? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's good for everyone to know, because sometimes you could be together with a Kohen who doesn't know. And that could happen, you know, which we'll see in the course of the shir, that a person is going together with a Kohen, and not everyone is well-versed in these halachas, so sometimes it's just worthwhile for everyone to know, but you know, Mashiach will come and these halachas will once again become relevant to everybody. So anyway, this is the concept that we have in yesterday's parsha of the Tumas Ohel. Now if you look here on the sheet, the Rambam tells us further in the first parak of the Hilchos Tumas Meis, the Rambam tells us that Tumas Ohel Eina Kishar Tumas Ela B'Meis Bovad. First and foremost, the law of Ohel, the law that being under the same roof transfers tumah, that it conveys tumah onto a person, is only true by tumas meis. It's not true by any other forms of tumah. And now the Rambam proceeds to say that there are several ways, this is very important, there are several ways in which the tumas Ohel could come upon a person. But basically, there are three ways. So the Rambam says, number one, Ubein she'ehehil ha'odam o ha'kli afiwu machat she'hilau ha'meis. The first way that Tumas Ohel could come upon a person is not the famous way. The first way, we mentioned that being under the same roof, that's going to be discussed later. But you don't necessarily have to be on the same roof. A person can constitute an ohel in his own right. Meaning that if a person leans over a grave, so leaning over a grave, making an ohel means that you are hovering over a surface. Okay, so if I'm hovering over a grave, I become tameh. So therefore, a Kohen would say, well, why can't I go into the cemetery? You know, I'm not under the same roof, it's in an open area. So there are a number of reasons why a Kohen can't go into the cemetery, but one of them is because of the fact that this would convey tumah. In other words, it doesn't matter necessarily that you're not under the same roof. Even if you just lean over a mace, that would make a person tumah with Tumas Ohel. Now, the reason why this is relevant is because if a Kohen attending a funeral where the procession after they have spayed them, so they bring the Aron, they bring the coffin out to the street on their way to the cemetery, so we have the mitzvah of Levoyas Hameis. The main mitzvah of attending a funeral is not listening to the Hespedim per se. The main mitzvah is escorting the mace. So therefore, it's good to know in general that the person attending the funeral, you know, to just leave after the Hespedim is not really the best thing. It's better if you could stick around a few more minutes to actually escort the mace. That's why it's called Levaya. Levaya comes from, it means to escort. That's the mitzvah of Levaya Hameis. But it happens, so now they take the Aron out into the street, so a Kohen is not supposed to get close to the Aron, but you have to be careful because even if you keep a distance, but Tumas Ohel is conveyed, if a person is leaning over an Ohel, he becomes Tameh. So therefore, if you happen to touch that person, if a Kohen happens to come in direct contact with that person, he would become Tameh also. So that's one of the ways that Tumas Ohel comes, is not just from being under the same roof, but also from hovering over a human being, hovering over a mace. Okay, that's case number one that the Rambam tells us. The second case is Osha Hel HaMace Al HaAdam. Another way you could have it is theoretically if the mace was on top of the person. If somehow that happened, the person was walking underneath the mace, that would also be a Tumas Ohel because the mace itself conveys the Tumas Ohel. It doesn't have to be that you're over the mace, it could be the mace is over the person. And the third case is the one that we always are familiar with. He says, O Shahaya Hamesim Ha'adam O Amakelim Tachas Ol Echad. Or if they're in both the mace and the person are under the same roof. Okay, so those are the three ways that you could have Tumas Ohel. Okay, the most common way is by being under the same roof as a mace. The other ways would be either a person creating an Ohel over the mace himself by leaning over, or the mace somehow, if you had a situation where the mace was on top of the person, that would also be. Yes.
You have a non-Kohen carrying by the bike,
right?
The coffin, he leans over, so he himself becomes Tamei.
Yes.
Was he the Kohen? But he doesn't lean over.
Right.
We're quite sure that he is leaning over. You're saying that if a Kohen would then touch him.
No, I think it's only while he's holding the mace. I believe so. At least.
Touch him.
Yeah, then he would become Tamei. Yes.
Tree branches.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, so now this, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry, questions?
If someone died on the floor above you.
Yes. So if someone dies on the floor above you, that would also be an issue. In other words, that would be a case where you have in other words, because you're under the same roof, the fact that you're in a separate room in a house doesn't mean anything. If you're under the same roof, Tumas Ohel is one of the mystical things. We don't know much about it. It's almost completely what's called the Gzeres HaKosov. It's all decreed by the Torah. There is a certain logical system within the laws of Tumah, but the explanation for the laws of Tumah in and of itself is Nelam. We don't know why that should be, but the fact of the matter is that Tumah is conveyed under the same roof, even if you're in a different room. And not only that, but there could be a lot of problems. If you're in a different wing of the same building, it's also a problem.
So if a coin's on, advisedly on the sixth.
Yeah,
floor,
right.
So, retirement,
so there could be issues, and there could be issues, right? So this creates the question, which we will hopefully get to, of whether a coin can visit a hospital. Right, because of the fact that, and this is a big issue, because you have, aside from family members who are Kohanim, but you also have Rabbanim who are Kohanim. Right, sometimes the rabbi in shul is a Kohen, so yeah, you know, the Bikur Cholim is a big thing, and especially if you live in an out-of-town community where they may not, you know, in a larger Jewish community, so there are many people that could be involved in Bikur Cholim, but let's say you live in a place with a small community, and then, you know, who's gonna go visit the person? So the rabbi wants to know, can I go? One of my congregants is in the hospital. Okay, so this is a question which hopefully we will deal with to some degree. But the larger question which I would like to deal with is an issue which became famous, or perhaps infamous, about 2 months ago. There was a picture that went viral. It was on, all over the internet. It was in some newspapers as well. You may have seen it, of a Kohen flying on an airplane encased in a plastic bag. Okay, that he was completely wrapped up. If you could see, if you want, I'm not recommending. I was going to bring in the picture, but I decided against it. But you could find it yourself on online. Okay, and the reason for this, and if you see the picture, you say this man is completely out of his mind. But the reason why this is because in recent years a controversy came about in Eretz Yisrael, which has been on and off, the question of the fact that flights leaving Ben Gurion Airport in some, or entering into Ben Gurion Airport in their efforts to avoid flying over civilian populations because of the noise. Nobody likes, you know, having an airport right near where they live. So, they took a route which flies over a Jewish cemetery in the town of Cholon. And the question was raised that is there an issue for a Kohen to fly on such a flight? Now you'll say, well, that's absurd. Why should the Kohen fly if he's not in a cemetery? He's thousands of feet above the cemetery. However, that in itself is not an answer because of the fact that the halacha that's clearly stated in all the postulants in the Gemara is that Tumas Meis goes all the way up till infinity. It goes up all the way Ad L'Shamayim. And therefore, it does not help the fact that you're over, that you're, like we said, one of the cases of Ohel is that you are over a mace. And if you're under a roof, that's over a mace. Right? So if you're flying on an airplane over such a cemetery, is there an issue with that? Now, this was raised by a lot of people, and as much as, you know, right, when you first hear the Shiloh, you say, ah, come on, he's in a plane, he's in an enclosed area, he's in a completely enclosed surface, so it shouldn't be a problem. But as we will see, it is far from simple that that's true. Now, whether that means that a person has to fly in a body bag is a different discussion. And you know, we so far have not heard of such a thing, right? You go into the Judaica stores, they have bags for talesim, plastic bags, and for lulavim. But we've never seen a coin bag, alright? Now, if anyone here, you know, wants to make a, you know, entrepreneur wants to make some quick money, if you get to the patent office before the next person attending this year, you may be able to cash in on this. But the fact of the matter is that it seems obscene to do such a thing, and the fact of the matter is that the airlines almost exclusively, it came up on a number of airlines, believe it or not, and El Al did not allow it, understandably because of safety concerns, if Chas V'Shalom anything happened to the plane. So the person, you know, who's closed in such a suit, you know, to get an oxygen mask, to get whatever, would be a very big danger to him, aside from the fact that it's very disturbing to all the people sitting nearby, as one could understand. So the airlines don't allow it. But the question is this a Shiloh or not? Is this a Shiloh? So this is really what I would like to discuss. Now, in order to understand this, and again, you could go online and find this picture. In April of this year, it happened, and it was, went all over with like tumor, it spread all over the world, right? So the question is this the right thing or not? So to understand this, we have to have the following background. We are told, the poskim tell us, that the Tumas Ohel has two aspects. There are two points to the fact that a person under the same roof as a mace becomes Tameh. One of them is, obviously, the Tumah that is conveyed on the person. But there's also halacha that a person who is in an enclosed Ohel is protected from Tumah. In other words, if a person was in an enclosed box, so that person would be shielded from Tumah. So theoretically, if a Kohen, just to take a bizarre type of case, if a Kohen wanted to attend a funeral and he says, I'll tell you what, I just need to be there, right? So put me in a box. Carry me also in a coffin, right? I'll go right behind, right? And I will be enclosed in the box. So theoretically, that would protect the Kohen from becoming Tameh. In other words, enclosure In an ohel, the same way being under the same ohel conveys tumah, it also blocks tumah. So therefore, if a person were to go in an ohel that was completely enclosed, he would not become tameh in the circumstance that he was in. Now that being the case, so you'll say, well, then it's obvious that if a person flies on an airplane, there's no problem flying over a cemetery because of the fact that I'm in an enclosed item. I'm in a box. An airplane is a completely enclosed, sealed container, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. So, however, this is not so simple because a moving ohel, what is called in the halacha an ohel zoruch, an ohel that moves, may not be considered an ohel. Okay, so we have here, if you turn the page, we have here, the Gemara tells us in Erevin, it's actually on page 3, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin, well actually before that, let's go to the top of page 3. Okay, we have the Mishnah in Maseches Olos, in the 8th parak of Maseches Olos, the Mishnah tells us as follows. The Mishnah tells us that there are certain items that are not considered an ohel. Okay, so it's not considered an ohel as far as blocking tumah from coming in. Okay, and the Mishnah says on the second line, Hakofetz mimakom lemakom, a person who jumps from place to place, va'of haporeach, or a bird that's flying overhead. Now, anything you have to realize when we talk about the tumah of ohel, it doesn't have to be dafka under a roof. As we said before, a person could become an ohel, could constitute an ohel. A tree could constitute an ohel. A bird could constitute an ohel. In other words, anything that is a tefach wide, anything that is a tefach wide that hovers over a person is considered halachically an ohel. Okay. However, the Mishnah here tells us that things that move, things that, let's say for a flying bird, talus haminaf nefes, a talus that is dangling in the air, okay, so these things, there is a very big question whether these things constitute an ohel, and the halacha is that they do not make an ohel as far, this is what's called an ohel zoruk, this is called an ohel that moves. An ohel that moves is not considered an ohel. We have further, the Gemara on the bottom of the page tells us, the Gemara that's brought, that is, on the bottom of the page, the Gemara says that that there's a question, in a very interesting question, when it comes to making an Eruv. So we know that when a person makes an Eruv, so the part of the issue of making an Eruv is that you have to put food in a certain location. An Eruv, let's say, for example, the community Eruv that we have here, so it's not just enough to put up the strings. That's what makes it enclosed. But in addition to that, you have to have an Eruv Chatzeros. There has to be that all the houses together in the community have joined together and as one unit, and that's usually taken care of by the Rabbanim in the community. And in order to have such an Eruv, you have to, the way everyone joins together is by putting a certain amount of food in a certain location, and that is considered the food that binds everybody together, right? I'm sure in one of the shuls here we have it that, you know, that there is the Eruv, the food has arrived just now to our shir, right? But the din is that the food has to be placed. Usually it's what's that?
The food's in
an ohel. The food's in an ohel. Okay, correct. Correct. So the food has to be placed in a central location that is accessible to people. So the Gemara discusses whether if the food of an Erev was put in a cemetery and a Kohen is using that Erev, so whether that's acceptable. So the Gemara discusses, in other words, the person who's making the Erev a participant in the Erev has to be able to access the food. And the food of the Erev in this particular case happened to be placed in a cemetery. So is that good enough? Is it good for a Kohen? The Kohen can't access the food. So the Gemara says, but well, there is a way that he could access the food if he goes into the cemetery in an enclosed box. That is the idea, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that is the idea that the Gemara puts forth. So the Gemara says, if you pick it up here from the fourth line down, the Gemara says, "Tanya, hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shidat hevel migdol." Okay, the rabbis in the many years ago in the times of the Mishnah, the rabbis decreed that there should be a status of tumah on all land outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not tumah that a kohen, not tumah's mace per se. Well, it's unclear exactly, but they decreed that there should be a certain tumah that is a tumah midrabbanon that exists in all of Chutz La'aretz. This was a deterrent from people to leave Eretz Yisrael, that there's a tumah in Chutz La'aretz. So the question is, what happens if a person who is in a state of Tara, wants to enter into Chutz La'aretz, he wants to leave Eretz Yisrael in an enclosed box? So the Gemara here tells us, Rebbe Mitame, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda Mitaher. Okay, that there's a difference of opinion whether that's valid. If a person needs to go outside of Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't want to become Tamei, can he go in an enclosed box? So there's a machlokas of Tanoim, and the Gemara says, B'mai kamifligi, what is the issue here? Mar savar ol zorek lav shmei ohel, umar savar ol zorek shmei ohel. The question is, a moving tent considered an ohel or not? Okay? In other words, the halakha concept of ohel, which is that being under the same tent, being under the same covering, does that apply only to stationary items, or does that even apply to movable items? Now, just for the record, this question, you say, what does this have to do with us? This question comes up to everybody on Shabbos, because there is a question, a debate that took place amongst the Achronim hundreds of years ago, whether a person would be allowed to go on Shabbos with an umbrella. Okay, if it's raining, can you go with an umbrella? So now what's this? So obviously if there's no Erev, you can't do it. But in a place where there's an Erev, right, let's say where we live, so why can't you go with an umbrella on Shabbos? Why must you get wet? So the answer is that one of the things a person is not allowed to do on Shabbos, one of the Yisurim of Shabbos, is to create an ohel, is to create a tent of any sort. You can't do that on Shabbos. So the question comes up, when you open an umbrella, so obviously the umbrella has a certain, you know, span that it covers, it's wider than a tefach, and that, when a person walks with the umbrella, so he is constantly making an ohel over every step that he takes. And that would be the issue of using, in other words, what other malacha, if you think about it, why can't you carry an umbrella on Shabbos? What are you doing wrong? Right? So that's the issue. Now, the question that is posed there, and the reason why it was debated years ago, hundreds of years ago, was quite hotly disputed, was because of this Gemara, because of the fact that, but this is what's called an ohel zorok, that this is not an ohel that's stationary, this is an ohel that's moving. So when it comes to Shabbos, for a number of reasons, the Achronim came out, it's widely accepted that the Achronim came out that a person should not use an umbrella on Shabbos, which is why we don't do it. But the underlying issue, one of the major underlying issue is this point, is that does this constitute an ohel since it's moving? So here in the Mishnah, it seems like it for sure does not constitute an ohel. In the Gemara, it seems that it's a machlokas. The Rishonim don't understand how could it be a machlokas in the Gemara if the Mishnah seemed to have it clear, even though it's a braisa in the Gemara, but nevertheless we have a Mishnah that clearly states otherwise. So what the explanation that's given by Tosus in a number of places is that there's a difference between an ohel that in itself is stationary just as being moved by people, like a box. In other words, the box itself doesn't move. But if a person's going to carry the box, so then the box is moving. Whereas if you have a flying bird or something like that, so the thing itself, the ohel itself is moving. So it's self-propelled. A self-propelled item, for sure, does not constitute an ohel. That's what comes out from the Mishnah and the Gemara as explained by the Baal Tosfos, and it's brought in Halacha. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam as well. And therefore, we are presented with the reality that an airplane, being a self-propelled item, so even though it's true that the airplane is contained and it is an enclosed box for all intents and purposes, but nevertheless, the halacha is that it does not constitute an ohel as far as preventing a person who's sitting on it from becoming tamei. In other words, as we said at the outset, there are two relevancies of of an ohel. There are two points in which it's significant. Number one, that if you're in the ohel, you become tameh. On the other hand, a person who's in an ohel, a separate ohel, can be considered protected from tumah. So here we come out that the halacha is that a self-propelled item, even if it is contained, does not constitute an ohel. And therefore, if that is the case, then such an item cannot protect the person who is within it from becoming tamei. Because as the poskim say, such an item can become tamei, but it cannot protect people from tumah. Yeah, go ahead.
A car would be the same thing
in that respect. So that would be a question. Can a coin go in a car drive through a cemetery? Right? So that's a question that comes up. Right? So, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I thought we said the mission of Olo is that a bird would be good. A bird that's a parea, right, would be fine. So obviously that's
self-propelled. No, it comes out from the Mishnah that an ofa parech is not considered, when it's moving, it's not considered chotzitz b'fnei atumah. You see the whole Mishnah. So in other words, like this. So now, you'll ask me that if this is true, that an airplane is not considered an OL halachically, and therefore cannot protect those people sitting on the plane from becoming tamei, so then why, but you'll say, let's go the other way then. Why can't a Kohen go on a plane that has a mace on it? In other words, one of the big modern day shailos, which also we need to discuss, right, is the basic question where today, where so many Jews choose to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, can a Kohen go on a flight that is carrying a mace? Right? This is a very big question. Now you'll say, based on what we just said, why not? If an airplane is not considered an OL because of the fact that it moves, and a self-propelled moving item is not an OL, so then why can't a Kohen go on such a thing? Right? And yet we know that the Pesach, I don't want to start up with the Kohanim here, but the consensus of the major poskim such as Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Eliashiv and the Chazon Ish all said that a Kohen should not go on the same flight as a mace. Okay? That if he, and should try to avoid it if you can. If sometimes you don't know, but sometimes you could find out. The New York, I was told that in New York, the Chevra Kadishas say that the flights out of JFK are the highest risk because those are the ones that typically carry the mace in Eretz Yisrael, but a flight out of Newark would not have that. A flight from Miami that would stop a European, none of the European carriers, to my knowledge, will take a mace to Eretz Yisrael. So a person going on a British Air, Swiss Air, any of these, Lufthansa, that's a different discussion. But the fact that anyone going on any of those airlines, so there would be no question. But a Kohen getting on a plane that leaves from New York, that leaves from the Kennedy Airport in New York, there is a high risk that there are going to be mason on that flight, and that's a question. Now there are people that give heterim for this. There are people that the laws of tumah are very complex. So there are attempts at coming up with heterim, but I don't want to start trouble. You could ask a rav, but the leading poskim, to my knowledge, were not in favor of these heterim. Rav Moshe Feinstein was not a machmir, and he was not in favor of the heterim. And he said, and we have it actually here on the sheet, I don't need the book, but he said that he raised, returning to our point, that if the airplane itself doesn't constitute an OL, why can't the Kohen go on an airplane? So the answer is, so Rav Moshe says, he gives a number of reasons, but the most simple reason is because the plane isn't moving before it takes off.
Right.
So when the plane is parked on the ground, it's not a moving item, so it's not an ol zaruk when it's on the ground. So anyone who enters the plane, the Kohen goes on the plane, the mace is on the plane with the Kohen, obviously, before the plane takes off. So therefore, at that point, it would constitute an ohel, and there is where you have the issue. But in terms of a flying plane constituting an ohel, so it seems that the halacha is that we hold ohel zarek lav shmei ohel. That is the way it is. It comes out. And let's see if we have it here in the Rambam. Yeah, if you look at the Rambam here on the page one, the bottom is brought in the Rambam, is also brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that the that the Rambam says that Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hey, the last two lines, Hanichnas Laretz Ha'amim B'Shita Tevel Migdol, that a person who enters into Chutz Laretz in some sort of enclosed box, Haparchim Ba'avir, that are, you know, flying in the air, meaning not that the box is flying, but it's being carried. It's not, you know, obviously not moving itself. So says the Rambam, Tomei, the person still becomes Tomei, She'ohel Zoruk Eino Kari Ohel. Because a moving ohel is not considered an ohel. And there, with this, we arrive at the problem of a Kohen flying. Forget about it. Let's say we check, the Kohen checks out and finds out that there are no mesim on this flight. Okay, I think you could find that out. I believe there are ways to determine that. I don't know for sure. I'm not a Kohen, but I believe there are ways. Is that correct? There are ways you could.
Jeff Kopelman.
He knows.
Yeah, unfortunately, he says most LL flights out of New York have mesim on them.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was saying. In other words, most LL flights out of New York have mesim. That's the reality. And therefore, a Kohen who wants to go on, who wants to flow from that area, or even from here, going to New York to get a flight there to Israel, really, it would be much better off getting on either a European flight, or if you want to go LL, then go on from Newark. I believe in Newark, that's not the case. That's not the case. There are people that give heterim. I say again, I'm not going to say this is the universally held, but the Gedolei HaPoskim do not agree with those heterim. So that I could tell you. I don't know of a world-class posek who held of any of the heterim. Maybe I am missing something, but to my knowledge, the Gedolei HaPoskim held not like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Why isn't the box that the mace in considered a container?
So the box that the mace is in, that's a good question. Why isn't the box that the mace in? So there's a question that's only true if there's a poseach tefach. If there's a tefach between the mace and the lid of the coffin, then potentially it could be considered a separate ohel, which is one of the heterim that people say. But I saw in a number of svarim where they said that no, there's no mashkiach. In other words, theoretically, the problem probably could be solved if they had some supervision in the airport. But the problem is, as we all know, a lot of times people are taken to be buried in Eretz Yisrael because the levaya gets delayed. You know, they have hespedim, all kinds of things. So they go the last minute, they come to the airport and they quickly rush the aron onto the plane. And a lot, it's very hard to supervise that. That's what I was told. That it's very, very, no, it's it could be done, theoretically. If you had a person who knew very well the halachas of Tum and Tara, it could be done on an airplane to create a system where it would not be, where you could have Kohanim, going on the plane. And in fact, I saw one of the, websites, somebody wrote a thing that they should advertise, you know, they have a business class and first class, they could have Kohen class, you know, where you could put a Kohen in a certain part of the plane and create a seal around that section of the plane, in which case it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, from what I understand, it's not, they can't be mashkiach. It's too complicated. There are too many people involved. Everybody wants it. It's an emotional thing. Everybody, you know, they're rushing to make the flight, and comes the last minute, and it's done very relatively quickly without any sort of rabbinic supervision. So therefore, this is what people are told. I'm not saying that there aren't people who are lenient, but it's advisable if a person could avoid it. If a person could avoid it, for a coin to fly on the same flight as a mace, Moshe Feinstein said black on white, he said that you shouldn't do it.
So just a tefach from the top, it's not a tefach on sides or any other way?
No, it has to be a tefach from the top, and they claim, there's all kinds of claims that that's not always the case, and all kinds of problems. I don't know the laws of Tumah well enough to say it, but I do know that it's not such a simple thing. So the question is, but a Kohen can't go on the same flight, but the bigger question now is, even if he went on a flight that had no mason, But what about the fact that the plane flies over cemeteries? Okay, if the plane flies over cemeteries and the plane does not constitute an ohel as far as protecting those residing in it from becoming tameh, so why doesn't the kohen have a problem with that? Because he is hovering over a mace. You say it sounds crazy, he's so high up in the air. All right, but it doesn't matter. The tumah goes ad l'rakia. The tumah goes all the way up to the sky. I'm sorry. He's traveling also, right? So what the Mishnah in Ola says, I believe, is that it doesn't stop the way the Mefarshim explain it. That it's brought in the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah that it does not stop the Ol Zorak from becoming Tameh. The din that Ol Zorak Lav Shmei Ol means that an Ol Zorak cannot protect someone in the Ol from becoming Tameh, but the Ol itself can become Tameh, can contract Tumah. That's what the Tiferes Yisrael says on the Mishnayos, and that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. That in all Zarek, so therefore, if a person jumps over a grave, so even though the person jumping doesn't constitute an ohel if you're under that person, but that person becomes tameh. So that's the answer to that question. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Let's assume that every casket has a tefach. He's done that and buried that.
So they challenge that assertion. They challenge that because they say that with the passage of time, things don't stay the way they were at the point of burial. That's what they say. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't bury. But in Eretz Yisrael, actually, they don't bury in caskets. But they do leave it. They do leave space because they do it in such a way with cinder blocks that the person not buried right under the ground. But they claim they say I saw it that the Chevra Kaddishas all say that over time that doesn't hold. That doesn't hold, and therefore it's not such a simple thing. It's not such a simple thing. So anyway, let's just go through. So what would be so you'll say, so then a kohen can't go on any flight. Forget about going to Eretz Yisrael. How can a kohen fly in any domestic, maybe from here to New York, so you go over mainly over the ocean, but you go other places, the domestic flights where you don't fly, you fly over the land. So you're going over cemeteries. So the answer is, the basic answer to that is that there is a question whether a non-Jew is metame lemeis. Now, it should be clarified as follows. A guy has tumas meis for sure, b'mago b'masa. In other words, carrying or touching a meis of a guy also makes a person tame. However, there is an opinion in the Gemara in Yevamos, which unfortunately not on the sheet, but the Gemara in Yevamos says on the bottom of Samach Amidez that there's the opinion of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that kivrei ovdei kochavim einam metamim ba'ohel, that the kever of a goy does not create tumas ohel. Okay, now that is the opinion of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not a universally held opinion, but that's what he held. So the question is that the halacha? So this is a machlokas in the Rishonim, but most poskim, most of the Gedolei Rishonim, the Rambam, I think you have it here on the sheet, the Rambam says, if you look at halacha Yud Gimel here on page 1, the Rambam says, Ein agoy metame ba'ohel. The dover zeh kabolahu, okay, that we have this as a mesorah, that a goy is not metame ba'ohel. Now, even though not everyone agrees with the Rambam, but nevertheless, when it comes to this Shaila, there are other factors that could be brought into it, and as a result, the consensus of the Poskim is that it would not be a problem at all to fly over a non-Jewish cemetery. That wouldn't be a problem. That would be no problem. Now, however, if you take the Rambam's psak alone, so going back to the question of a coin going into a hospital, so then, if you're not in a heavily Jewish area, so then, or even, most people in the hospital are not Jews, and even probably, unless you're in Israel, most people in the hospital are not Jews. So what are the chances that there's going to be a Jewish mace in the hospital? In other words, the concern is that there'll be a non-Jewish mace, but we're saying now that a goy is not metame ba'ohel. Okay, so the question is, can a person rely on that or not? So the reality is that this is This is it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm just trying to see if you have it here in the sheet. No, but it's brought in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Actually, it's in the Shulchan Aruch as well. I have the page open to it right here. The Shulchan Aruch says in excuse me in Simon Yerideh Simon Shinai in Beis of Beis, it says Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim Nochon Lizor HaKohen Melelech Aleihem, that the grave of a goy, it is preferable, nachon lizoher, that you should not go over it, meaning you should not create an ohel by walking over it. So that's the psak of the Mechaber, it will be for the Svardim, and the Ramah pretty much agrees with this, and he says, nachon lahachmir, it is correct to be machmir. So, getting to the, just going off the immediate topic for a second, as far as the hospital is concerned, it's preferable, again, I'm just telling you what I came up with, you know, you could speak to your Rav and see what he says, but it's preferable for a Kohen not to, there are a lot of Kohanim that stay away from hospitals, okay, unless there's a very important reason to go in. If there's a very important reason to go in, so then you could perhaps rely on this, because you'll say, well, you know, a guy is not a problem, and even though a person shouldn't do it, but maybe there could be other factors involved, and you know, like I mentioned at the outset, if you have a rabbi of a shul who's a kohen, and he, you know, he really has to go, people need his counsel, people in the hospital, they want to hear words of chizuk from him, so there is room, I'm not saying definitively one way or the other, but there's room to say that unless you're in a really Jewish area, unless you're in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't have this heter, because you're going to deal with the fact that there are probably Mason that are Jews. But in a place that's not heavily Jewish, certainly, so then the likelihood that there's a Jew that's a mace in the hospital, it may not be so great, right? The majority of the people there are not Jews. So there could be grounds to be lenient. I'm not saying. This is a shiloh. But getting back to the airplane situation, right? This is the intended topic. So getting back to the airplane situation, the reality is as follows. The reality is that in the contemporary times, there's not a clear heter for this. Now, that doesn't mean that a Kohen shouldn't fly to Eretz Yisrael, because the authorities in Eretz Yisrael have been made aware of this. The airport authorities have been aware of it, and from what I understand, it's not always a problem, and it could be that it's not a problem now. There was a write-up in the Yated Neman from Rabbi Dunner, the Dayan in England, that he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he spent a lot of time there researching this. He claims that he was even, you know, sitting in the airport and, you know, tracking, they allowed him to see flights coming in and out and tracking the routes. And basically, what they said was that there are two runways in Ben Gurion Airport. There's one that avoids it completely, and there's one that doesn't. Now, for a time, the one that avoided it was under construction, and this created a little bit of a question. I believe he claims that you really could find out that there are some flights that for sure don't fly over the cemetery, but there are those that do. And he said that if you inquire, you could find that out. But this is a reality that we have today. The situation is an interesting shaila, because who would have even thought of such a thing? But, you know, because they're trying to protect the citizens in Eretz Yisrael, nobody wants to have the noise of an airplane. So they, Bedafka, made a rule initially, said a great idea. Let's fly, you know, going out of Eretz Yisrael, the flights all have to go west. In other words, they can't go over any of the Arab countries because it's not safe. So all the flights out of Eretz Yisrael go west into the Mediterranean, and then they, you know, depending on where they're going, they make their turns. But every flight leaving Eretz Yisrael is going to be going, that is going to be, you know, flying over the mainland of Eretz Yisrael. But the reality is that a lot of there is only one cemetery, to my knowledge, that presents this shaila. And but to just simply say it's not a question is not really true, because a lot of people hold that there's no great heta for it. In fact, Rabbi Bleich, also not a machmir in the contemporary halachic problems, he wrote up a whole piece on it. He went through all the possible heterim They came, went through a very, very long piece a number of years ago, and he basically rejected heter after possible heter after possible heter. And he said that really the best thing is to try to find that out. But they do cooperate. They do cooperate in Eretz Yisrael, and they try to avoid it. But there could be a time that they, depending on the situation in the airport, that they fly over this route. So, Baruch Hashem, most of us don't have this question, but the Kohanim might want to consider this, might want to consider seeing if he could find this out. I believe he claimed that the daytime flights did not fly over it, the nighttime flights did. It's hard to know. I don't know how recently this was written. So, it could be that it might be worthwhile for a Kohen to try to get to the bottom of this and investigate whether or not it's true. Should a person go in a body bag? So that's obviously not a good idea for a lot of reasons. You'll scare the daylights out of all the people sitting nearby. But also, it's very questionable if that's considered chotzis b'fnei atuma, because a person in such a bag has to breathe. So otherwise he'll himself create a shiloh. So therefore, in order to breathe, they have to make holes. They have to make holes in the bag. So then again, it's not sealed. So all kinds of, and also it's not a solution. It's not a solution. So if you see that picture, the person who did it, I'm not saying he was crazy, because he probably was trying to do the right thing, but that's not an acceptable option. What is an acceptable option would be to try to investigate this. Now, just the last point, as far as, you know, the idea that an Ohel Zoruch is not considered an Ohel applies to cars as well. Okay, that means that a person driving in a car, so in New York, those are familiar, when a person travels from Brooklyn to Queens or vice versa, see, one of the routes is what used to be called the Interborough Parkway, now named after Jackie Robinson, the Jackie Robinson Parkway. Now, there are Jewish cemeteries all along the side of that highway, and there are trees that are in the cemetery that hang over the road. Now, this is an issue because an ohel can be made, as we said, not just from being under the same roof, but anything that is a tefach wide constitutes an ohel. So if a branch of a tree is a tefach wide, then you have a problem. Okay, now you'll say, but the branches that hang over are not a tefach wide, but it's brought in the poskim that even if part of the tree is a tefach wide, then any other part of the tree is considered also able to convey tumah. So it's not such a simple thing. So I believe that what they try to do in such situations is, if you're driving in that, you try to stay in the left lane, away from the problem. I believe that the trees are trimmed every now and then. It's not always a problem, but there are times when that could be a problem. Now, sealing the window, you say, well, close the windows and close the door, and I'll be in a self-contained box. But again, that may not be good enough because of the fact that it's considered an Ohel Zoruch. Okay, and the question really is, you know, can a person rely on the fact that the windows are closed? I don't believe Kohanim drive through cemeteries in cars, right? So that I assume is because of this reason. So then it should be, I would imagine, the same thing going under the tree that protrudes from a cemetery. So you know, this type of thing that a person has to be wary of. Sometimes, obviously, a person's not going to go into a lane and endanger his life because of the tree that's hanging out from the cemetery. But, you know, it may be in certain situations, if you know there's a problem, maybe go a different way. Maybe go a different route. But the laws of Tumas Ohel when it comes to Mason are complicated. And one last thing I want to say is that if a funeral is being held in a chapel, and that chapel has, let's say, a canopy outside of it that protects, you know, people standing outside from the rain, so that canopy also is part of the Ohel HaMeis. It doesn't help that it's outside the building. Now, an Ohel can be extended by continuous Ohels. So if you have a situation where it's raining and you have Kohanim standing outside, attending a funeral, standing outside under umbrellas, if their umbrellas are too close to the canopy that hangs over the chapel, then they're not accomplishing anything because the tumah is going to spread from the chapel to the canopy to their umbrella. Also, if you have 10 non-Kohanim standing back to back to back, all holding umbrellas, so then the tumah's ohel travels. So a Kohen who is attending a funeral on a rainy day has to be mindful. You're standing outside, you say, okay, good, I'm staying away from the problem. That's true. But on the other hand, you just have to be mindful that there are things that could cause Tumas Ohel to travel even outside of the building. Because once you have an Ohel, any adjacent Ohel furthers the problem, just connects. It connects the problem. So therefore, you would really be advised in a situation like that to just stay clear of it, and hopefully in that way there wouldn't be a problem. I will conclude just by saying that these halachas are very complicated, and as you can tell, it's not. I'm not trying to say the final word on anything, but I'm just trying to raise the issue, a certain awareness, and a person could ask their rav, a person could say, is this an issue or is it not an issue? And in particular, in the modern technology, the modern day world, so a lot of shilas have come up that didn't used to exist. You know, when I remember in yeshiva learning the Gemara about a person who enters into the Gemara, it's in Gittin, the same Gemara that a person who enters into the Eretz HaAmim in a box and laughing and thinking, who would do such a thing? But it never occurred to me that that's exactly the case of a person going in an airplane or a person going in a car. So these are shilas that, you know, you have to take into consideration, and hopefully, you know, the kedusha, the kahuna is something that is one of the most beautiful things in Yiddishkeit because it's been preserved to this day, that kohanim, you know, take care and they guard themselves and they're very careful not to become tameh, an amazing thing. After all the years of the goes, we still have this observance, and it's part of the kedushas kahuna, and hopefully, with the awareness in these areas, we could continue to do it even in the face of the modern challenges.